ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम द फर्स्ट कैंटो चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट 29। सूत उवाच एवं चिन्तयतो जिष्णुः कृष्णपाद सरोरुहम् सौहार्देनातिगाढेन शांता सिद् विमलामतिः।
सूत उवाच
एवं चिन्तयतो जिष्णुः
कृष्णपादसरोरुहम्
सौहार्देनातिगाढेन शांता सिद् विमलामतिः।
सूत उवाच
कृष्णपादसरोहम्
शांता सिद्धि विमलामतिः।
सूत गोस्वामी सर, दस बीइंग डीपली एब्जॉर्ब्ड इन थिंकिंग ऑफ द इंस्ट्रक्शंस ऑफ द लॉर्ड which were imparted in the great intimacy of friendship, and in thinking of his lotus feet, Arjun's mind became pacified and free from all material contamination. Therefore, by His Divine Grace, Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Acharya. Since the Lord is absolute, deep meditation upon Him is as good as yogic trance. The Lord is not different from His name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage, and specific actions. Arjun began to think of the Lord's instructions to him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Only those instructions began to eliminate the tinges of material contamination in the mind of Arjuna. The Lord is like the sun. The sun's appearance means immediate dissipation of darkness or ignorance, and the Lord's appearance within the mind of the devotee can at once drive away the miserable material effects. Lord Chaitanya has therefore recommended constant chanting of the name of the Lord for protection from all contamination of the material world. The feeling of separation from the Lord is undoubtedly painful to the devotee, but because it is in connection with the Lord, it has a specific transcendental effect which pacifies the heart. Feelings of separation are also sources of transcendental bliss, and they are never comparable to contaminated material feelings of separation.
ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाभया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा तदा मह्यं तथापि स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणगुणातान्वितं तं साधुतम साधुतम परिजना सहितम कृष्ण चैतन्य देवम श्री राधा कृष्ण हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगे राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी कृष्णवासुदेव देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये
नमाय विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले
श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यावेशकारिणे
जय
श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैतवाद श्रीवासादि गौरवागतन्न हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा रीडिंग द ट्रांसलेशन अगेन सूत गोस्वामी सेड Thus being deeply absorbed in thinking of the instructions of the Lord, which were imparted in the great intimacy of friendship, and in thinking of his lotus feet, Arjun's mind became pacified and free from all material contamination. We are reading the chapter entitled The Pandavas Retire Timely. The Lord has already wound up his Leela. The Lord and all the Yadus, they have disappeared from Dwaraka. And Arjun witnessed the disappearance of the Lord and the disappearance of the Yadus is now traveling back to Hastinapur to meet Yudhishthira. And upon arrival at the palace, when he meets Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira already is suspicious because several symptoms, several omens indicating the disappearance of the Lord, he was already seeing them. So he inquired in great detail as to what happened. How are you? How are the Pandavas? How are the Yadus? How is Lord Krishna? And so on. And Arjun, who is grief stricken, completely dejected, begins to recount several wonderful interactions the Pandavas had with the Lord when the Lord was personally present. So Arjun recollects how the Lord, by his mercy, time and again saved the Pandavas from great danger and also sided with the Pandavas in all their heroic achievements. For example, when the Swayamvar of Draupadi was to take place, Arjun recollected how it was only by the mercy of the Lord that he was able to penetrate the eye of the fish. Then how they could defeat Jarasandha, how they could defeat the Kauravas when they were in hiding, especially when they were attacked in the kingdom of Virat. And then how Arjun could fight with Shiva, how Arjun could go to Indra and also defeat a demon in the heavenly planets, Nivata Kavach and so on. So there were incredible achievements by any standard which the Pandavas displayed in front of the world. And Arjun, very appropriately is pointing out that it is only by the personal presence of the Supreme Lord on their side that they could do so many wonderful achievements. So in fact, the presence or the absence of the Supreme Lord or the mercy of the Supreme Lord makes all the difference in our life. Arjun and all the other Pandavas, they were so successful in their life. Even in the battle of Kurukshetra, where actually it was a mismatch because the number of enemy soldiers was much higher. The Kaurava side had 18 Akshauhinis, or rather 11 Akshauhinis, and the Pandava side they had only 7 Akshauhinis. And in the Kaurava side there was Bhishma, Pitamaha, Kripacharya, Dronacharya, Karna and so on, who were actually capable of defeating the Pandavas. But just because the Lord sided with the Pandavas, especially Arjun, although very amazingly the Lord never even lifted a weapon as he promised, simply the presence of the Lord on the side of the Pandavas made the impossible possible. So Arjun is recollecting all these various incidences where the presence of the Lord made the difference between success and failure. That is actually the mood of a devotee. If a devotee is successful in material life, he gives all credit to Guru and Krishna. Does not take any credit for himself. Not only it is humility, but actually it is reality. Because factually, all power, it comes from the Supreme Lord. So, Srila Prabhupada in one of the previous purports, he says, very appropriately, when Arjun says that, I have the same garden, I have the same bow, I have the same horses, the same chariot, and I am the same person. But while taking the queens from Dwarka, the queens of Krishna, some infidel cowherd boys, they attacked me with sticks and stones, and I was defeated. In that purport, Prabhupada writes very beautifully, one should not be puffed up by borrowed plumes. So sometimes, some birds become envious of the peacock because of the beauty of the plumes. And some of the birds, they may pick up some fallen plumes, stick them in their own back. A crow might do that. That does not mean that now the crow has become equal in beauty to the peacock. Similarly, sometimes in the struggle for material life, we might win a few battles here and there in comparison to others. We might appear to be little more successful, but proper cautions. Never forget your gratitude towards Krishna, towards the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Because as long as one is thinking that I am the one who was doing all this, I am so great and I am so successful, it is only a matter of time before one's actual weaknesses, one's fallen nature will come to the forefront. So this kind of false ego, that I am responsible for my success, I have planned, I have schemed, I have done the hard work and now I am enjoying the results. When one gets this kind of feeling, it is called as false ego. Giving all the credit to oneself. So we know there are many, many defects, problems with false ego. But perhaps the biggest problem with false ego is that one becomes blind. One cannot see the hand of God acting in one's life. And that is the biggest problem of false ego. That it blinds oneself to the reality of how the Supreme Lord is actually moving things in our life. At the right time, the Supreme Lord gives the right words. And at the right time, the Supreme Lord creates the right situation in which everyone cooperates. And somehow or other, there is success. But we fail to see the superior arrangement because of the blinding of the false ego. So the false ego leads to the idea that I am the doer. And as long as one maintains this conception, there is no question of coming to the level of pure devotional service. On the other hand, when a person maintains his humility, his or her humility, then, of course, humility has got many beautiful characteristics. But perhaps the most important of all characteristic of humility is that one develops the vision, the eyesight, to see how the Lord's mercy is acting at every second in our life and in the life of so many others. In fact, there's a saying, all for the best. And we also hear some stories of Akbar and Birbal stating how it's all for the best. So one time, you all know, somebody's finger got cut, the story of Akbar and Birbal. And so somebody's finger got cut in the hunting expedition, and some tribals caught them for sacrifice, and this person unfortunately was caught. So he was cursing, why my finger got caught? But when the tribals took him for the sacrifice, they saw there was blood which was dried. They said, this boga is contaminated, so we cannot offer this boga. So that finger cut got a, became a blessing. Like this, there are many stories how people quote all for the best. Unfortunately, when people say all for the best, they measure the best in terms of sense gratification. If I am saved, if I am successful, then everything is for the best. But
only a devotee, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, can something be done about this? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Shall I continue without the Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Understand the real meaning of all for the best.
Because in every situation, whether the situation is of success or failure, the devotee sees how the Lord himself is orchestrating that situation, how the Lord is providing that realization to the devotee. And therefore, only the devotee is a winner in all circumstances. Because the winner, I mean the devotee, has seen the will, has seen the desire of the Supreme Lord behind every incident that happens in his or her life. So the Lord, especially in this chapter of the Gita, he is teaching us through the medium of Arjun. Arjun was in great distress. First of all, the Lord had disappeared. And the Lord is very, very dear to Arjun, your Sakha. And secondly, Arjun was such a great general, such a great Kshatriya. He had killed hundreds and thousands of great kings in the battle of Kurukshetra. And he had established, along with the Pandavas, Dharma, Dharma Raja everywhere. Undisputed, unchallenged kings. But when he was entrusted with this critical responsibility of taking the queens from Dwarka to Hastinapur, he was defeated by some very, very low class people. So for a Kshatriya, who has just conquered the world and then given such a big responsibility, if he is defeated in his attempt, naturally it will be so painful to accept the consequence. It's like you have been given the top position in your company and then you have done a silly mistake because of which you are asked to quit the company. It is so demeaning, it is so disappointing. So Arjun, his mind was overwhelmed with distress, with the thoughts of failure.
Hare Krishna.
So Arjun's mind was filled with distress, with the thoughts of failure. It was a very serious dent to his reputation, to his credibility. So the feeling of Arjun when the Lord disappeared is expressed in one of the previous verses. Rahita purushottama sakhya priyena surida ridayena shunyaha. Arjun is saying, Rahita Purushottamena, when Purushottam, the Supreme Lord, he left, I became separated from him. So he is addressing the Supreme Lord as Purushottam, Sakhya, which is very close friend, Priyena, very dear friend, Surida, very very dear to the heart. Then, in that situation, Ridayena Shunyaha. Arjun is saying, my heart has become vacant. So, this is the nature of pure love of God. One who has obtained pure love for God, for Krishna, he loves the Lord, he loves Krishna, even more than he can love himself. In general, we hear that the most precious thing for anyone is his own life. When our own life comes to stake, then we can, we can kill anybody else and try to survive. But here, because the Lord is even more dear to the devotee than his own life, in fact, the association of the Lord is dearer to the devotee than his own life. And when the Lord left, heart has become vacant. It's as if Arjun has become lifeless. So such separation for the devotee is actually unbearable. We hear from Vrindavan Leela and Chaitanya Leela that when Krishna disappeared, rather when Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura on the invitation of Kamsa, some of the gopis, when they heard that the Lord is leaving for Mathura, they simply gave up their life. They could not tolerate the thought that I will be separated from Krishna. I will not be able to see Krishna. That thought of getting separated was so unbearable that some of these gopis, they just gave up their life. And some of the gopis, they lost their faculty of speech, they became dumb. Some of them became deaf, some of them became... They lost several faculties of thinking, activity, feeling, willing, and so on. They became lifeless, like trees. Similarly, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared, Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar, they also could not continue. They gave up their life. The separation of the Lord is so unbearable. And then of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Shikshashtakam, Shunya itam jagat sarvam govinda virahiram. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually teaching us the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam. So he's saying that in the absence of Govinda, everything in the world has become null and void, vacant for me. There is no meaning, no purpose left in life. There is no hope left in life. What is the use of living? Such extreme feelings of separation can occur only when one has developed pure love for God. One may wonder, no, if love for God is so dangerous that when I cannot see Krishna, I will feel like doing suicide, better not go in that direction. So actually Prabhupada says in the purport, the feeling of separation from the Lord is undoubtedly painful to the devotee, but because it is in connection with the Lord, it has a specific transcendental effect which pacifies the heart. Feelings of separation are also sources of transcendental bliss. So this is contrary to our experience. If someone dear to us goes away forever from our life, we are usually filled with sadness, disappointment, moroseness, and there is no hope of the person coming back. And even if we remember our association with the friend or the partner, it only increases our grief. So in the material world, separation and union both lead to misery. When there is extreme love between two people, say, boy and the girl, and there is separation, the girl leaves the boy, or the boy leaves the girl, whatever. One of them dies, or one of them gets married to somebody else. So when that happens, undoubtedly the life of the other person is ruined. He finds it very difficult to come out of it. So separation definitely leads to misery in the material world. Even union leads to misery. In case they come together and try to live together, the feelings of love very quickly evaporate, and the feelings of hatred, anger, envy, exploitation, lust, they immediately manifest. So both union and separation in the material world leads to suffering. But in the spiritual world, in the spiritual arena, when one is separated from the Lord, the separation increases the transcendental bliss of the devotee. Now how is that? So Rupa Goswami, in his Nectar of Devotion, he says one of the characteristics of pure devotional service is that it brings immediate relief from all material distress. So when one engages in pure devotional service wholeheartedly, the minimum that the Lord guarantees is that you will be free from material distress. Definitely, that is given. Material pains and pleasures cannot touch you. But what about when the Lord Himself disappears? So, the Lord explains in the Gita, in the 10th chapter, Machitta madgata prana bodhayantasya parasparam kadayantasya maam nityam kushyanti cha bhramanti cha. So, Krishna is giving here a hint. Simply by kathayantascha maam, simply by doing Krishna katha nityam, regularly, tushyanti cha, those who are regularly discussing Krishna katha, they become trushya in heart. They become completely pacified. What is the meaning of being pacified? It means that one's running for material pleasure because of the agitated mind is immediately stopped. Generally, we are all in continuous pursuit of sense gratification in different forms. In every situation in life, we try to extract sense gratification, sense pleasure, directly, consciously or unconsciously. Our every activity is actually focused towards extracting sense gratification from every time, place and situation, circumstance. Even the animals, they are also doing the same thing. So, for example, stool might be very disgusting, repelling to us. But the pig is so used to stool that that's his halwa. That's his enjoyment. So, in any situation in life, one adjusts to whatever is available, whatever sense gratification is available, and tries to pull it up. So, as soon as one engages in Krishna Katha, first thing that happens is pushyanti. The pursuit, the running, the mad running behind sense gratification because of the agitated mind, that is stopped. And then, Raman teacher, the Krishna Katha produces more and more happiness, joy, bliss. Therefore, elsewhere it is said, Ramante yogino anante satyananda chidatmani. The yogis who are undergoing so much tapasya austerity, they have left all the pleasures of the world. Sitting in some cave or under some tree or living on a river bed, just eating some fruits, nuts. What are they getting actually in life? Somebody may ask. We all are living in a comfortable house. We have some nice education, some nice salary, nice job, and so many other comforts of life. But all these sadhus, yogis, they are wandering around without anything. How is it that they are more happy than us? That is because they are relishing in their own hearts Satyananda Chidatmani. They are relishing a kind of pleasure which is true pleasure. It is not the fleeting temporary pleasure of this world which comes, agitates and then goes. It is not that kind of pleasure which comes in our life and the only contribution of that material pleasure is to increase our thirst for material pleasure. It is not that kind of pleasure. But it is Satyananda Chidatmani. That kind of pleasure which completely pacifies, completely satisfies the heart. They are having that pleasure. So Krishna Katha can give us this kind of pleasure. And in the Padma Puran, it is described, Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinnatvam Namanam. So it is understood that the holy name of Supreme Lord, Nam, it is like a Chintamani, which means you desire anything, it will be immediately fulfilled. Name has the potency to do that. And Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, the name is filled with all the rasas, all the mellows which the heart requires. Any kind of pleasure which can truly satisfy the heart, that is all packed up in the holy name. Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinnatvam Namanam. And there is one great quality of the holy name, that the holy name is non-different from the personality whose name we are chanting. So when we chant Krishna, actually Krishna is present in his name, in the sound vibration. Of course, one cannot perceive it immediately, but as one continues chanting every single day, attentively, whatever attention we can muster, gradually this truth will be revealed. That Krishna is present in his name, it's not different. The sound vibration is not different from the personality of Krishna. So the devotees, when they do Krishna Katha, when they focus on Krishna, just as here Arjuna is saying, being deeply absorbed in thinking of Krishna or the instructions of Krishna, such as once coming in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna's mind became pacified. Deep absorption in Krishna, either by hearing, by remembering, by serving, by praying, through so many different means. Deep absorption by some means upon Krishna is actually equal to association with Krishna. So when the Lord disappears from the vision of the devotee's mind is flooded with thoughts of the instructions of the Lord, or with the thoughts of the interactions with the Lord. Just like Arjuna's mind is flooded with all those interactions he had with Krishna as friend, sakha, you know, as charioteer, as advisor, so many interactions which Arjuna had. So when the mind of the devotee, like Arjuna, is flooded, thoughts of Krishna are not different from actually associating with Krishna. And therefore, how can it be that the Lord has actually disappeared? The Lord has not disappeared. Lord is very much there, personally present. In fact, if one is in the personal presence of the Lord, then one can actually see the Lord. But seeing the Lord is still not as complete, as perfect, as fulfilling as being absorbed in the thought of the Lord. Because actually, one's consciousness is one's own self. And in that consciousness, when Krishna enters, Krishna manifests in one's consciousness, that is the closest experience of Krishna one can have. Even closer than seeing the Lord, hearing the Lord, or actually serving the Lord. So, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, so many demons also saw the Lord. But there was no effect. So if one's consciousness is not surcharged with the thoughts of Krishna in pure devotional service, then any external interaction with Krishna is not complete and perfect. One must come to the level of pure devotional service by absorption in the thoughts of Krishna, absorption in the instructions of Krishna, absorption in the pastimes of Krishna. In this way, one is actually inviting the Lord to enter one's mind, one's intelligence, and one's consciousness. And when the Lord has personally entered, the Lord is actually Rasa Vigraha. He is the source of all the rasas. He is the source, reservoir of all pleasure. So when we contact the reservoir of pleasure in our own mind and in our own consciousness, that is the perfect, complete experience of the bliss of Krishna consciousness. And this reservoir which we can contact in our own consciousness, it expands unlimitedly when the Lord is not present in front of us personally. So when there is separation, then the emotions of remembrance, they become intense. When the person is actually there in front of you, then the emotional content is not as intense as when the person is left, is not in your vision. So seeing the Lord with your own eyes or experiencing the Lord externally with your senses is of course good, no doubt, one is on a very high level of devotional service if one is able to do that. But to experience the Lord in one's own consciousness through absorption, that is even higher, even better. So Arjun, the moment he started meditating on the instructions of the Lord in his mind, the Lord pacified the agitated mind of Arjuna. Immediately he started feeling peace. So Arjuna is actually demonstrating the teachings of the Gita. So the essence of the Gita is Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. So Man Mana, the Lord gives the essence of the Gita in this verse. And the first thing the Lord says is Man Mana. Think of me always in your mind. Because if one can do that, then one can get absorption of the mind onto the pastimes of the Lord, onto the instructions of the Lord. Then that experience of Krishna consciousness, there is no comparison of that with any other pleasure in the material world. So also, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, the first verse of Shashtakam, Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Maha Dhavagni Nirvapana Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidya Vadu Chitanam. So, this process of chanting, which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told all of us as the Yuga Dharma, the first thing the process does is Cheto Darpana Marjanam. It cleans the heart of various misgivings, unwanted things. And then, he says later, Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. Vidya means all forms of knowledge. What is the essence of knowledge? The essence of all knowledge is to be able to chant all this. So if one, by one's various studies, academic studies, scriptural studies, one has not come to this understanding that one must chant and thereby absorb the mind in Krishna consciousness, in the thoughts of Krishna, then one has missed everything. So therefore, Vidya Vasu Jivanam. Chanting is the life of all knowledge. So in the next verse, verse 29, we discuss more of how Arjuna is experiencing transcendental bliss in separation from Krishna.
Vasudevangri anudhyana paribrimhitaram hasa bhaktya nirmati kashesha kashaya dhishano arjuna.
Translation: Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna rapidly increased his devotion, and as a result, all the trash in his thoughts subsided. Wherefore, material desires in the mind are the trash of material contamination. By such contamination, the living being is faced with so many compatible and incompatible things that discourage the very existence of spiritual identity. Birth after birth, the conditioned soul is entrapped with so many pleasing and displeasing elements, which are all false and temporary. They accumulate due to our reactions to material desires. But when we get in touch with the transcendental Lord, in his variegated energies by devotional service, the naked forms of all material desires become manifest, and the intelligence of the living being is pacified in its true color. As soon as Arjun turned his attention towards the instructions of the Lord, as they are inculcated in the Bhagavad Gita, his true color of eternal association with the Lord became manifest, and thus he felt freed from all material contamination.
How does absorption in Krishna remove material contamination? One may question. So material desires, it is explained in the purport, they force us to do actions which bring reactions. Because material desire means I want to do something for my pleasure. So as soon as one is doing an activity decided by himself, to be enjoyed by himself, then that activity comes under the purview of karma. So there is reaction. Reactions can be good or bad, depending on what kind of activity one is doing. The result of these reactions is that it discourages us from developing our spiritual identity. Material actions and their reactions, both good and bad, they act in such a way that they dampen one's enthusiasm to progress in spiritual life. It's like fungus which goes and covers the wood or the vegetable. And then when fungus sticks onto your vegetable or wood, it just rots. So material actions, reactions and desires, they dampen and kill our spiritual pursuit. Not only that, any material action and reaction is false and temporary. When we work for our own satisfaction, the result of that work in terms of assets, in terms of sense pleasure, it is false and temporary. It does not last. None of the assets we are accumulating, it will last. Our knowledge and our degrees will not last. Our money, our family, our possessions, land, property, that will not last. Our own body will also not last. Our own senses, which are demanding all the time so much sense gratification, that will also not last. So, Prabhupada very beautifully explains how material desires, they actually lead us to false and temporary situations. Now naturally, it is not possible to be happy in a situation which is temporary, in a situation which is false. Just like somebody goes to see a some drama or dance in some theater. So for 2 or 3 hours there is entertainment. As soon as the entertainment is over, you come out of the drama or the dance, you are faced back with life, all its problems, all its issues. So to think that I can enjoy a dance or a drama or a movie for whole life is foolishness. It's a temporary pleasure which is going to start, which is going to end. So, the essence of material desire in any form, the actual hidden motive of all material desires of various forms, the lowermost material form, lowermost form of desire is I and my body is all I know. When I am hungry, give me food. When I am thirsty, give me water. So I am interested only in feeding my own body. That is the lowest form of material existence. Then it grows slightly. No, I have a family also. So I should give something to my family also. They should also be happy, cared for. And then one can go on expanding. No, I have my society. I should give back to my society. I should also work for my country. I should work for my caste, my religion. In this way, there are innumerable forms of material desire. But really, the essence of material desire is that it takes us towards life which is false and temporary. Material actions drag us only towards temporary things which are going to get snatched away in course of time. Therefore, any form of material desire is actually useless. Because the only contribution you will get from all those efforts, material desires, is something which will be given and very soon taken away. So if, for example, we are working in the company, most of us are working here and earning salary. If the company gives you, you know, at the end of the month, salary for your hard work of the month, and then says, next day I will take back all the money. We will credit the money to your bank account, next day the bank account will be empty, we will take back the money. You will ask, what is the use of that hard work? 1 month of hard work. If I cannot get the money for myself all the time. But actually this is what is happening to all of us. We are investing our time, energy, intelligence, our mind, our senses, our body in something which will come. Every endeavor will produce some result by the mercy of Krishna. It will come. The reward, the fruit will come, but it will be taken away. If we are looking for satisfaction and happiness, if it comes, it will evaporate. If you are looking for assets, they will come, but we will go away. Just like, so many people have claimed ownership over land since generations. But the land is still there, people are not there. So we may spend our life accumulating assets. Assets will remain, but we will not remain. So things are temporary and the pleasure we obtain is also temporary. So Prabhupada is saying that really the essence of material desire, the true form, the naked form of material desire is to push us towards temporary and false life. Therefore, we must all endeavor to come to the state of reality. And the state of reality is that I am just an insignificant servant of Krishna. And this material world is not the real house. The real house of everyone is spiritual world. Therefore, it is said, Jivera Swarupahaya Krishnera Nitya Das. One must come to the realization that I have nobody other than Krishna. When one thinks, no, I have many other ways to manage things, I have many other dependents, I have so many other wonderful things in the world, then one cannot develop absorption in Krishna. One cannot develop absorption in Krishna, then it is not possible to taste the bliss of Krishna consciousness. So, in this verse, Arjuna is saying, Paribrinhita Brahmasa. So, Paribrinhita means to expand. And Brahmasa means to expand with great velocity, great speed. The beauty of devotional service is that when somebody, even with disturbances in mind, even with contamination in the heart, when one tries to engage with absorption in the thoughts of Krishna, the instructions of Krishna, Krishna promises that one will develop pure devotional service, consciousness will be purified. Paribrinhita Ramhasa. with great speed, with great force. That is the promise of the Lord. So with this, we will stop here. Today is also the disappearance day of some very great devotees. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, one of the Acharya in the Parambara, and also Sri Vidadhar Pandit. So, we'll have a few words on the life and teachings of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and we'll then conclude class. Yes, please.
Tells in Bhagavad Gita that Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma.
Hare Krishna. So my question is, Lord Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na shochati na kamshati. So as per that, one who is at the Brahma Bhuta stage will not hanker or lament. But we can see in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela or actually Bhagavatam, so many devotees are actually worrying and lamenting. So what is that instruction what Lord Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, do they not apply to devotees, or you know, are they for a different category of people, or how devotees have to apply this instruction?
Hare Krishna. The question is, despite all this promise of the Lord and so on, all this talk of transcendental pleasure and so on, even great devotees are disturbed. They express sadness and moroseness and suffering and so on. So for example, when Abhimanyu was killed in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjun, he cried like anything. He expressed great sorrow. Similarly, after the war was over, Yudhishthir became inconsolable. Nobody could stop the suffering, the sadness, the lamentation of Yudhishthir. So, Krishna had to take Yudhishthir to meet Bhishma. How is it that devotees, is it the case that this does not work? The devotees are still crying. So it is not like that. Devotees definitely express sorrow, disappointment, because it is not that devotees are stone, they are bereft of emotions. It is not like that. So devotees will also feel, you know, sorrowful, they feel disappointed, they may feel morose, they may cry, just like Arjuna also cried, Yudhishthira also cried. So, what this means is that the heart of the devotee is so soft that when the devotee sees suffering, there is a natural outburst of emotions. A devotee will feel disappointed, dejected when some near and dear one has passed away. His heart is very soft. The devotees will feel sorrowful even when the enemy is in a state of suffering, because devotees are paradukha dukhi. But the suffering of the devotees, the lamentation of the devotees, cannot shake them from the path of Krishna consciousness. Their determination to continue service to Krishna despite personal failures, despite suffering in one's own life, like the Pandavas, all their sons were killed by, for example, Ashwatthama. They could have said, you know, Krishna, you did not stop this. You could have stopped it. You could have killed Ashwatthama. You could have told us, you would have killed Ashwatthama. It happened. Right? So, despite so much suffering coming in their lives, they will not give up. They have surrendered to Krishna. And the suffering shown by the devotees, especially when the Lord disappears, when Sri Chaitanya disappeared, or you know, when Lord Krishna disappeared, externally there is of course suffering because you cannot perceive the Lord now as you were able to do earlier. But the devotees know that actually the Lord can never disappear and the Lord can be experienced all the time. So the Lord never leaves the heart of the devotee. And the devotees continue having interaction with the Lord in the heart. So therefore, the life of the devotee continues because the Lord is giving nectar from inside. So not that devotees cannot show sorrow or suffering, but the suffering or the sorrow cannot overcome their surrender to the Lord. Yes, yes. Na shochati na kaangshati is for a sadhaka who has managed to reach the Brahmabhuta platform, and the hallmark of reaching the Brahmabhuta stage is na shochati na kaangshati. One has no hankering, no lamentation for anything that is material, not connected to the Supreme Lord. But devotees also have shochati kaangshati when it comes to spiritual things. So in the spiritual arena, there is so-called suffering, so-called loss. But actually that suffering and that loss is not equal to the loss experienced by us when we are in the material sphere. So, anybody who thinks himself separate from the Lord, he can be in the mode of goodness, passion or ignorance. Anything. Grossest ignorance is also there. When one goes and does so many activities which are completely breaking the injunction of the Lord, injunction of the Vedas. For example, meat eating is considered as gross ignorance. But a person in the mode of passion may also be forgetful of his relationship with the Lord. So therefore, when we enter the modes of, when we are controlled by the modes of material nature, we have actually forgotten our relationship with the Lord. Not that only in ignorance, you know, one has become forgetful, but even up to the stage of goodness, one can actually not have realized one's relationship with the Supreme Lord. Material world, the pure devotees are conditioned because of the body. So lamentation is a consequence of material consciousness, and because a pure devotee has got a material body still with him, so he is also afflicted by the lamentation. That's Prabhuji's point, right?
Accept the lamentation.
Yeah. So a devotee laments only for his lack of surrender to Krishna. In one purport in the Gita, Prabhupada writes that a devotee is callous towards material incidences. Callous means not taking seriously. So Prabhupada actually quotes what kind of material incidences. He says a devotee is callous towards material happenings like death, disease and other types of suffering. So when by the arrangement of Krishna some external suffering comes in the life of the devotee is still callous towards it, not taking it seriously. A devotee laments either because he has not surrendered enough to Krishna, or some very spiritual friend or somebody like that has passed away or something. So the lamentation is also actually inspired only by spiritual events, not material events. Just like on the disappearance day of devotees, we sing the song Jaya Nino Premadhan, Karuna Prachu. So in this song, one of the last lines is Pashane Kutibo Matha Analena Pashibo. A devotee, because he is not seeing his friends, the other devotees, who have disappeared, given up their body, he is ready to go and beat his head against a stone because of the suffering, the intense suffering of emotion, separation. So this is lamentation. But this lamentation is not, it is not the lamentation caused by loss of anything material. If a devotee loses some material asset, he does not lament. But if a devotee loses a spiritual asset, he laments. That is the difference. So, as far as hunger and thirst is concerned, a pure devotee, definitely, body is there, it will demand some food and rest and so on. And if somebody's food, rest, health is spoiled, is disturbed, does it produce agitation in the mind of the devotee? Does it disturb the devotee? Does it cause inconvenience to the devotee? So the answer is no. Personally, the devotee does not mind. But it is our service that nobody undergoes this situation. We should not cause disturbance to the devotees. But personally, if a devotee does not get, say, food on time, his health is broken down, does not get enough rest because of service or something, there is no question of the devotees getting disturbed. That is his qualification. In fact, qualification of an advanced devotee, that one is not disturbed by material circumstances. Of course, in the stage of sadhana bhakti, which we are all doing, it's very natural to get disturbed if these things do not happen. So, we are not advanced. So, we will definitely get agitated and disturbed if things do not turn out the way we want. So, our lamentation and agitation is still driven by material circumstances. So, we are still under the force of nature.